are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode 4, Friday, November the 22nd, and a chance for a turnaround weekend. Let's be optimistic. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like y'all guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast, coming to you a little bit late on Fridays, as we do sometimes here during the NBA dog days as they approach. But we're going to start with tonight's game against Atlanta today and talk about the player that I'll have my eye on mostly tonight, spotlighting their performance, kind of put your money where your mouth is in a way. We're also going to look ahead to Saturday night. The Pistons have a back-to-back in Milwaukee to take on the Bucks. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But the Pistons return to action at home tonight against the lowly Atlanta Hawks. I say lowly. They got the exact same 4-10 record as the Detroit Pistons, so also a miserable team in the Eastern Conference right now. Pistons trying to get some revenge and recover from the home opener loss to Lloyd Pierce's very young Atlanta Hawks teams. And if you can believe it or not, the Pistons are 6.5-point favorites. That's right. Vegas thinks the Pistons win and win pretty big. The Hawks come in here with a 4-game losing streak and the Pistons with a dueling 5-game losing streak. So a bit of a rock fight tonight. Atlanta has lost 7 of 8 games before. You know, they're getting killed lately. They got killed out in L.A. against the Clippers and the Lakers. You can imagine what the Pistons would look like against those teams right now. But just got drubbed by the Bucks the other night. The final score ended up being a lot closer than the game appeared to be, as the Hawks made one of those late runs to get it down to single digits, but pretty meaningless in the grand scheme of things. The injury report, luckily for the Pistons, well, we know that John Collins is out with the 25-game PED suspension, but Kevin Huerter is out as well. Cam Reddish, the rookie, is questionable. That actually might be bad news for the Pistons. He's been miserable lately, or his whole career so far in the NBA, the rookie. Evan Turner and Chandler Parsons are probable in this one. That's right. Chandler Parsons is back in the NBA. As I get a telemarketer call to come into the phone, we'll shut that down. But a better podcaster might have his phone on silent as he starts the show. But, you know, sometimes we forget those kind of things. But Chandler Parsons, like I said, was on the shelf for several years for Dallas and Memphis, and now is playing quite a bit. So we'll get to see him in the flesh. I think the ladies might prefer to see him sometimes, one of the heartthrobs out there in the NBA. But for the Pistons, us weekly here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But Tony Snell is out once again for the Pistons with the hip injury. No Sekou Doumbouya either, although I saw, I think James Edwards tweeted out that they had asked Dwayne Casey at practice yesterday if Sekou was an option for the Pistons to bring him up with Tony out. And it says Casey said it was discussed, but obviously not followed through with. And I like that. I mean, if you want to be serious about this G League stuff, if you want to be serious about Sekou's development, and you've decided that that's the way you want to do it, then I don't think that one injury to one league average or slightly league average, below league average player should change your plans on that. This isn't a season that needs to be salvaged. This isn't a season that we need to save right now on November 22nd. I enjoy the big picture view, and I think a lot of those moves that the coaching staff makes, the minutes decisions, the distributions, I think that a lot of those are big picture decisions that maybe we fail to notice as fans who are kind of creatures of the moment here. But of course, Reggie Jackson and Kyrie Thomas also out for the Pistons tonight. But the Hawks, I mean, this is a team that does not have a backup point guard. You might expect Derrick Rose to do some work tonight. They've tried Evan Turner at it, but he's not a backup point guard. So obviously, that's been a problem for them. I looked at the roster before the year, and I'm not the only one who's talking about this. It's kind of a talking point with the Hawks. You need some sort of backup for Trae Young or someone who can play some reasonable minutes there, and they don't have that. But no centers really here on the roster as well. Alex Len and Damian Jones are getting the minutes there, so Andre Drummond should have some work done tonight for him as well. And it's a tale of two rookies, a couple of high draft picks for the Hawks. Like I said, Cam Reddish looks like he did at Duke so far, which is kind of a dud, whereas DeAndre Hunter is playing really well out of Virginia. He had 27 points on Wednesday, 11 rebounds as well. You know, we'll see up close and personal if he's able to have another big game. He played well in the opener, the home opener for the Pistons, the opener for the Hawks as well. But the Pistons, after tonight's game at Milwaukee on Saturday, taking on the Bucks, and then next week home for Orlando on Monday, and then wrapping a couple of the games with the Charlotte Hornets around the Thanksgiving holiday. What a thing to give thanks for. Two games between the Pistons and the Charlotte Hornets. So that's coming up Wednesday in Charlotte, and then Friday night, Black Friday in Detroit. As we know, the debut of the City Edition jerseys, the much ballyhooed slash disappointing red with the blue racing stripes jerseys that it seems like Pistons Twitter just did a complete 180 on once they were announced and decided they like them. So, I don't know. It seemed like a little bit of a metaphor about how some of you guys feel about this team. You'll kind of take whatever's served to you sometimes. And not here on the Lockdown Pistons podcast, though. We didn't like them at first, and we still don't like them now. But, again, more of a league problem. We'd like to just see the teals, give us what we want, but the league and the Pistons weren't able to deliver on that. But next, I'm going to talk about the player that I'm going to have my eye on the most in tonight's game against the Atlanta Hawks. That's coming up next here on the Lockdown Pistons podcast. But hey, attention past, present, and future MyBookie players. During Thanksgiving week, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears and Lions game. And what a game it will be. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congrats. You've got extra holiday spending money. If you lose, congrats to you as well. MyBookie will give you all your money back. It's a no-brainer because you literally can't lose. It's no risk. All delicious gravy. It doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer. MyBookie welcomes all to come play, so quit waiting around and sign up today. Do you find yourself wanting to sports bet but have a lot of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie's patient customer service team will walk you through the process. And the best part is, if you join this Thanksgiving week, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. Just log on to MyBookie.ag and make your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll. And that's on top of the risk-free Bears and Lions bet. Don't bet on the Lions. Don't be an idiot. Let me repeat, that's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for Thanksgiving only. So if you're a true football fan, you do not want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply cannot lose. Make sure you're part. Do your part to support your great Detroit Lions team this season. Hop on the gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie using promo code LOCKEDONNBA so you know where you heard this offer. You play, you win, you get paid.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we will talk about the Milwaukee Bucks. That shudder you just felt in your spine was that there's another meeting coming up on Saturday night with the Bucks after crushing the Pistons in eight games last season. That's coming up Saturday night in Wisconsin. But Trae Young is the player the Pistons have to be focusing on tonight. Obviously, he has jumped up the production from his rookie year here in his second campaign, getting 26.8 points per game compared to 19.1 in his second-place rookie of the year finish last year. Now, a little bit misleading because he really stepped up his game in the second half of the season last year. So in the last 39 games since my birthday of last year, which is the most important date on the calendar, Trae Young was getting 22.9 points per game last year, and now he's up to 26.8. So like a little bit of a half a jump from the first half to the second half of last year, and then made another half a jump from the second half of last year to this year. So no denying that. A 35% three-point shooter in the second half of last year as well. He had a really rough start to the season in that regard. And really unusual, by the way, for a rookie to be playing so well in the second half of his first season. No problems with the conditioning, no problems with the rookie wall, like they talked about. And that 35% at the second half of last year really ticked up even more to 36% from three this year, and on more volume as well. And not just shooting volume, but all sorts of volume. Trae Young is in the 100th percentile, which is very high, with a 38% usage on the season, which is ridiculous. According to Cleaning the Glass, 100% in assist percentage, so 42.7% there as well. So, I mean, just in short, the Steph Curry narrative is wrong, by the way. They're just small guards that are obviously very good offensive players. Trae Young was and is nowhere near the shooter that Steph Curry is. Certainly not early when he was very bad of a three-point shooter, despite some highlight makes from deep that you probably saw on House of Highlights and things like that. He is now an above-average shooter, but the best part of Trae Young's game is his passing, the drive and the dish, nice slips kind of threading through the needle on the pick and rolls, a lot of stuff that we saw in the opener against the Pistons. So what does that mean for the Pistons tonight? We saw him just cook up Bruce Brown in the first and third quarters of that game at Little Caesars Arena. And Langston Galloway did a good job of stepping in at times and slowing him down. So the best part about the Pistons' defense against Trae Young was when Langston was out there, as opposed to Bruce, who came in billed as the defensive stopper and best defensive player on the Pistons. And Bruce, after the game, if you remember, talked on and on about can't wait until we play them again in a couple weeks. This can't happen again. Can't wait to see Trae Young again in a few weeks. He said it like three times in a two-minute interview with the media after the game. So that's the player I'm going to keep my eyes on. You know me, a little bit of a Bruce Brown slappy, a little bit of a Bruce Brown defender. I just think this guy has something close to the DNA of what Detroit Pistons basketball is. Now, that being said, this guy is not Pat Beverly. This guy is not Marcus Smart. I don't expect Bruce Brown to be a defensive leader of a very good defensive team going forward. I just think that he has the makeup to be a guy who's passable defensively for a team that's trying to be very, very good defensively, can be the second or third best defensive player. I still think the Pistons are lacking that guy. And I'm not talking about someone who's going to beat you in a street fight, who's got more toughness, but someone who sells out and goes out and plays defensively to the point where he's a defensive leader on this team. I don't think Andre Drummond's that guy. I know that Andre Drummond's not that guy. And just kind of, and obviously you can't just have a scrub, a Tony Allen type out there that doesn't do anything offensively, but we need to find that type of player. Maybe Matisse Thybulle was a miss in the draft, and I got someone like that in the first round. Just would like to see this Pistons DNA a little bit different. But like I said, Bruce Brown at least has the DNA to be playing on a team that's very good defensively, but maybe not the bulldog leader that we're looking for. But how is Bruce Brown playing on defense this year? That's a big question, because we know that he was a very above average offensive or defensively last year, certainly not offensively. And where is it going defensively this year? A little bit of the narrative that he slipped a little bit. Well, let's take a look at it. Certainly less wild plays from the eye test. Cleaning the Glass says that he's, you know, still elite for block rate compared to other combo guards, which is designation has changed from wing to combo guard because of the time that he's playing at point this year. Slightly above average for steals. The foul percentage is in the 15th percentile, so that's really bad. That's got to get better. We know from watching the game that Bruce Brown fouls too much. A great offensive rebounder compared to other combo guards. Above average on the defensive rebounding end. All that stuff kind of checks out with the eye test. Obviously, the offensive numbers are ugly. The turnover rate is about the only thing that the Pistons improve on when he's on the floor. And you say, well, Matt, you know, he's been playing some point guard, like you say. The offense hasn't improved with him on the court. But I would argue that he's really only played traditional point guard for one game in terms of having the ball in his hands in the half court quite a bit. We know in the full court transition, he helps out. He's the only real transition player on this team. Would like to see him paired with a Sekou Doumbouya at some point down the road and other players who are willing to get out and run. I know it's not a great used part of the NBA these days, but it's something the Pistons can exploit at times, especially in the dog days when teams aren't exactly sprinting back on defense, December, January, February, those kind of things. So that one game that he really played traditional point guard, his usage rate was really only extremely high in one game, and that was the Brooklyn game at home, a 28.5% usage rate. That's really high. By far the team's best game of the season, if you recall. Otherwise, he's just kind of been playing point guard in name only, take the ball up the court, not really have the ball in his hands much more than any other player. Offense going through Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin. Some of that is on Bruce Brown, not being assertive, not demanding to make plays, not being assertiveness with the ball. But as you might expect, the Pistons defense is better when Bruce Brown is on the court this year, but not as big of a leap in terms of how much better it was than last year. The on-off improvement in effective field goal percentage, you know, last year his positive impact was in the 88th percentile of how the team did comparatively on the court when he was off the court. So 88th percentile last year, and now it's down to the 69th percentile. Still a nice number, as we know, but not as great as the 88th percentile of last year, where he really made a big difference when he was on the court defensively for the opponent's effective field goal percentage. The points per possession for on-off numbers used to be last year the 79th percentile. Now it's just the 57th percentile. So, and the team is forcing less turnovers with him on the court than they did last season with him on the court. So what we're seeing in terms of the eye test is matching up. We'd like to see Bruce Brown become more of a defensive presence with this team, cut down the fouls, make some more of the wow plays, but also be in position a little bit better. But we also know that Bruce Brown playing some point guard, you know, there's less of a chance of point guards just cooking the Pistons right now. And it's one of those things that's hard to notice because if the team's just playing okay defense, you don't really notice that. But we kind of forget all the times that the Kemba Walkers of the world killed them. So just kind of playing passable defense or maybe slightly below average defense doesn't really stand out. But I think that having the difference between the Reggie Jacksons and the Ish Smiths of the world not being out there is something that maybe you don't notice watching day in and day out. But we kind of forget how much point guards used to kill those teams. So tonight, again, that theory didn't pass when Trae Young cooked the Pistons in the home opener. So tonight is an opportunity to kind of test my thesis to see if Bruce Brown being out there really helps this team defensively enough to make up for the fact that he doesn't do a lot of great things offensively right now. And but I believe that there's a world that a Bruce Brown offense can be decent if it's kind of built around his strengths. And I know he's not a superstar. He's not the kind of player you want to build your offense around. But you do want to construct a lot of motion, a lot of offense that puts players in good position. And Bruce Brown's one of these guys that has extreme things that he does very poorly and some things that he does kind of well. So you need to find ways to make that work with a player like him. Because I think I'm of the opinion that as Bruce Brown develops, he can be a player that can be on the court a lot for a very good team going forward. Does that mean he does everything well? No. Does that mean that he's a building block? Well, I would say yes on a building block, but not like a foundation, you know, not a guy that's one of your three best players on the team or anything like that. But I'm just kind of watching this Pistons team. We know that what this Pistons team is not. We know they are not a contender, but I'm more concerned about what is this team going forward. What players should they be trying to keep around? And I think that Bruce Brown is one of the only players, to be honest, that I'm watching on this roster thinking that this is a guy that can stay with and be a part of the Detroit Pistons team that I envision as being a team that might win some games. It might be a factor in the NBA going forward because, as we know, that is not the case right now. But Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. Are you listening on the go right now? If you can't visit Audible right now, you can visit this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors. Do all your holiday shopping. Check that out at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Again, lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks, Saturday's opponent. Get some sleep because it's going to be a tough one for us on Saturday night. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Well, the Bucks are 12-3, cruising as you might figure they would after bowing out in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, a team on a mission for coach Mike Budenholzer, the best record in the Eastern Conference, trailing only the 12-2 Los Angeles Lakers for the best record in the NBA. The Pistons will be in Milwaukee, taking on the Bucks on Saturday night. Milwaukee just played a back-to-back on Wednesday and Thursday, so this will be the third game in four nights for them. Pistons coming in on the second half of back-to-back travel day as well. Milwaukee was home on Thursday, so not as bad as it could be for them. But I would call this not as big of a schedule disadvantage for the Pistons than a normal back-to-back with travel would entail, just because the Bucks had that three games in four nights. Milwaukee has won six in a row, 10 of 11. So obviously the Bucks are rolling right now. Giannis Antetokounmpo playing at an MVP level one season after he won the MVP award last year, got another 30-10 last night against the Atlanta Hawks. Although there is a little bit of chinks in the armor right now. He's airballed three free throws this season so far, which is Drummond-like from the old days. The free throw percentage is down from the mid to low 70s all the way down to 60.6% right now this season. I'm roughing them up if I'm you guys. I mean, I know that that's old bad boys talk to go after guys and follow them hard. But there's a couple reasons for this. A, because obviously the free throw numbers are bad, so you'd rather have Giannis shooting those free throws than finishing at the rim. Secondly, I think that this guy can finish so well, even when you do give him some contact, that you need to follow him hard. I'm not just saying usual fouls in the paint are going to be effective enough. This guy's so big, so strong, so long. And I know that that's a skill, to foul guys hard without, you know, flagrantly hurting people and doing the things that would get you the extra fouls, the flagrant fouls, the technical fouls. There's a little bit of an art to it. And I think that Andre Drummond kind of displayed in last year's finals that he doesn't quite have the gracefulness, doesn't have quite the touch of fouls. When he was trying to make a statement out there, he got teed up and tossed out of that game. If you remember, I think it was game two of the playoff series last year. The three-point numbers are up for Giannis right now, so improving that game, part of his game, a little bit steadily. It's poor still, as we know. He was up from 25.6% on threes last year to 29% so far this year. Small sample size alert on everything we talk about, of course. But this team, a little bit different from last year. They lost Malcolm Brogdon from last season. Mirotić as well went off to Europe. But added Robin Lopez off the bench, some other bit players as well. Lost Tim Frazier. I don't know where he ended up, but obviously a huge cornerstone of the end of their season last year. But, you know, we got the Lopez brothers now, not just Brooke, but we got Robin coming off the bench as well. Always fun watching Andre Drummond get cooked by the various Lopezes. But the three-point shooting is down for Brooke Lopez so far this year. Was a very effective 36.5%. From three last year, now a tick below 30%, so maybe that's not as big of an issue for the Pistons defense to think about and deal with. We know that Andre struggles inside offensively against Brook Lopez, one of the elite shot blockers in the NBA, and also struggles defensively trying to deal with him as a three-point shooter as well, kind of the bad matchup for Andre Drummond. We know some good matchups are out there in the NBA, but this is probably the worst one out there for him. Giannis Antetokounmpo plays some five sometimes, so that's a thing to watch out for. No Chris Middleton, as we know, but this team is healthy otherwise. No line in Vegas because the Pistons play tonight, so we'll see that. But good guy Rick, one of our favorite Twitter followers and listeners as well, sent this one along on Bleacher Report, wanted to pass along to you guys. This was aggregated from Sean Devaney of Heavy, who is a former longtime NBA writer at the Sporting News. I'm old enough to remember when the Sporting News was a thing, but Sean Devaney is a respected voice around the NBA. They're reporting that the Charlotte Hornets are reportedly set to quote-unquote target Detroit Pistons center Andre Drummond, though it's unclear whether they'll make a push to acquire him before the NBA trade deadline in February or wait until he becomes an unrestricted free agent next summer, presuming that he doesn't pick up his option. Sean Devaney of Heavy reported Friday that the Pistons have not yet considered, quote-unquote, moving Drummond this season, but that could change following the team's 4-10 start. A couple of quick thoughts on this. If we're looking at it as a trading partner, Nick Batum has basically an identical contract, a little bit less money than Andre Drummond, so that would match up salary-wise, maybe a little bit of filler to split the difference. But the difference is that Nick Batum is certainly going to pick up next year's player option for him at $27.1 million, while Andre has indicated that he won't pick up the player option next year. Now, all the rights that come with re-signing players, the amount of salary that you can give to them, it's advantageous for teams to re-sign their own players as opposed to signing players out in the open market. So that would give the Hornets a little bit of an edge on getting Andre Drummond locked up long-term going forward, and maybe they can convince him to possibly pick up his player option next year if that's something that they think is in the cards for him there. So the salaries kind of match up. Obviously, Andre Drummond's a much better player than Nick Batum, so you would expect some sort of draft pick compensation to go alongside of that. Or if you're not interested in Nick Batum, and why wouldn't you be one of the more overpaid players in the NBA? There's some other options on this roster in terms of the middle-tier salaries, the Cody Zellers of the world. Marvin Williams and Bismack Biyombo have big numbers that are expiring, so that could be beneficial for a Pistons team that might be looking at a big rebuild going forward. And, of course, some young, talented pieces that you could fetch. Miles Bridges has been a little bit of a disappointment so far, P.J. Washington's probably a hands-off guy for them, playing well and probably a guy that they consider a big part of their future. Malik Monk is a guy who's been disappointing so far this year. Nick Carboni told us there's been some strides this year, but maybe a bit of a second draft type of player, a reclamation project type of guy. Kid Gilchrist is really bad, but could be a salary number that could fill in. So there are some interesting pieces there on the Charlotte roster. But my biggest takeaway is big picture, yes, make deals with the Charlotte Hornets. This is one of the pathetic front offices in the NBA. If Michael Jordan likes Andre Drummond, if Mitch Kupchak likes Andre Drummond, find a way to make that work if you're the Detroit Pistons. We've heard about Andre Drummond linked to Charlotte a lot in the past, and I think it's a move that the Pistons should very much consider and make it happen if you can put Charlotte over a barrel, as they are often find themselves in trade talks and negotiations and things of the sort. We know the bad Kemba Walker way that whole thing was handled. They should have traded him before getting nothing for him. And then Terry Rozier, to me, isn't a foundation piece for a good team going forward. But that'll do it for us this week. Have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy some Pistons basketball. We'll be back Monday for the postmortem of the weekend. This is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening. Talk to y'all later.